Today is the eighth Sunday after Trinity Sunday, and the gospel appointed for today is from St. Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many other wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Thus our Lord spoke near the conclusion of his Sermon on the Mount, teaching how Christians could recognize the false prophets. What kind of fruit do you and I bear, and what do such fruits say about us? False prophets come, at least trying to sound, in some outward way, like faithful sheep. But Jesus says in no uncertain terms, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Where then is the assurance of our salvation? How are we to rightly understand these good fruit which are to be manifested in us? Joined to the Lord by grace through faith, our good fruit testifies to God's grace. The word of the Lord teaches us, Therefore by their fruits you will know them. God alone sees into the hearts of men, but God tells us that we can know a man by the fruit that he bears. You cannot see the heart, but that which fills the heart, whether belief or unbelief, will then be expressed in words and actions. The fruit that man would bear by nature, born under sin, are the works of the flesh. And as St. Paul wrote to the Galatians, Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the things of which Paul declares in today's epistle, For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That which is in us by nature leads to death. The works of the flesh are the fruit of a bad tree, that is, a tree corrupted by sin. As original sin, that sin which is in us all on account of our natural descent from Adam, thoroughly corrupts all mankind. It is the source of the works of the flesh, including sins against the second table of the law, such as adultery, hatred, murders, and drunkenness. These are the sins against our neighbor. Men readily recognize that such works are evil, and thus most civil authorities have, historically, punished such open wickedness. Therefore, Christians should recognize all the more clearly that the forgiveness which is ours in Christ is not a license to sin. As we read in Romans chapter 6, What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? Christian faith, therefore, and willful deliberate sin cannot coexist. Our lives are lives of repentance, seeking to avoid sin, and hating the sin which still adheres to us. As Christians, we are ever turning from sin, repenting of the evil, and desiring to think, say, and do those things which are pleasing to the triune God. But sins against the second table, sins against the neighbor, are not the only kind of sin. Original sin is also the source of all sins against the first table of the law, that is, those works of the flesh which include idolatry, sorcery, dissensions, and heresies. Such sins are those which are the chief sins of the false prophets. Man often does not think very much about these sins, even though they are far more deadly. A man caught in adultery may be far more conscious of his fallen condition than a Jehovah's Witness who denies the Holy Trinity and denies that Jesus Christ is true God and true man. A false prophet, such as a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon, might imagine that they are in a right relationship with God. The adulterer or murderer often knows that they are not. And thus the danger for such a false prophet is all the greater. Thus our Lord gives the warning in today's gospel, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons certainly fall under this condemnation. They run all over the country saying, "Lord, Lord," and yet the doctrine which they bring is not the saving doctrine of Christ's holy gospel. If you would not open your door willingly and knowingly to a rapist or a murderer who intended you evil, how much more so you should be afraid of letting such a false teacher into your home who would deprive you of the word of life and bring in his false, soul-destroying doctrine. These words of Jesus teach us clearly that the Lord judges the faithfulness of the action, not just whether it is done in Jesus' name. This is very informative. The false teachers have tried to justify joining together in joint worship with the idolaters, such as Muslims, Buddhists, etc., claiming that as long as Christians would pray in Jesus' name, that makes such joint worship acceptable. But Jesus says in clear words that there will be those who prophesied in his name who will be told, "I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Such joint worship between Christians and non-Christians is unacceptable to the Holy Trinity, for we are commanded, "You shall have no other gods before me," and "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." The first commandment makes it clear that we are not to acknowledge any of the false gods of the nations in the presence of the living God. Simply mentioning the name of Jesus does not automatically make something right. Doing that which is the will of the Holy Trinity is the criteria. The false prophets may give a great appearance of piety. Certainly the Pharisees made a great show of their piety, and it is often so today among the false religions. But what do they teach? For such teaching, such proclamation of the Word of God, is the great responsibility of a prophet. In the Old Testament reading for today, we hear of the Lord's word to Jeremiah. In the time of Jeremiah, there were many who had departed from God's word. God's word declared, "Even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind would not be favorable toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth." And again the Lord declared, "For who will have pity on you, O Jerusalem? Or who will bemoan you? Or who will turn aside to ask how you are doing? You have forsaken me, says the Lord. You have gone backward. Therefore I will stretch out my hand against you and destroy you. I am weary of relenting." If these words seem harsh to you, consider the words which the Lord promises many will hear in the judgment. "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." We need to consider the judgment of the Lord against all works of the flesh. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Thus the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall, and they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible." It is the Lord who delivers us, and is by the Spirit one puts to death the deeds of the body. We have heard in the words of Galatians 5 concerning the works of the flesh. But consider the words from the same chapter which describe the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It is as we hear in Romans chapter 8, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." All of us, by nature of our birth in sin, would have produced only bad fruit. We are born bad trees, so we would thus bear bad fruit. But Christ Jesus came, bearing the judgment for our sins in his own body upon the cross. It was necessary that there be punishment for sins, but Christ bore our sin, suffering and dying for us, so that all who believe in him as Savior receive the full forgiveness of all their sin. We were born bad trees. Grafted into the living vine, we branches bear good fruit to the glory of God. Joined to the Lord by grace through faith, our good fruit testifies to God's grace. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Thus we lacked any good fruit of our own. Even those things which our neighbors would call good were still tainted by sin. But joined to our Savior, we bear good fruit. We bear fruit because we are joined to him. Because Jesus gives us life, therefore we live. Good fruit do not save us. They are an outward testimony to that which the Holy Spirit has worked in us through holy baptism and the Word of God. In this life, even after we are joined to Christ, we need daily to repent, for the old nature continues to seek to lead us astray, and the devil is ever around seeking our destruction. But we are now new creatures in Christ, adopted children of God through our Lord Jesus. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For an heir to come into his inheritance, there must be a death, and the death of Jesus is that through which we have been so eternally blessed. The innocent one died for the guilty, so that the guilty would go free. Those who deserved eternal death and condemnation now live with the promise of eternal life, because Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. And his resurrection assures us that all who believe in him shall rise when he comes again in glory. A tree bears fruit according to its nature. That good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, are manifest in us is because of him to whom we have been joined. The Spirit of God has worked repentance, sorrow over sin, and faith in Jesus within our hearts. Because of his work in us, we now have the gift of salvation. And the triune God, in his mercy, continues to give us his word and sacrament so that we ever receive that forgiveness and the assurance of the mercy of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord refashions our hearts so that we desire to be freed from the sin which would still seek to lead us astray. He leads us to yearn for the life to come, and the hope which is ours through Christ Jesus in his resurrection from the dead. This hope will not disappoint. Amen. Let us pray. Grant to us, Lord, we beseech thee, the Spirit to think and do always such things as are right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without thee, may by thee be enabled to live according to thy will. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The people of Salem Lutheran Church invite you to join them today for the 10:30 a.m. worship service. Sunday school is available for all ages at 9:30. For more information on Salem Lutheran Church, you may call the congregation at 533-2330 or visit us on the internet at www.salemlutheranchurch.net. This broadcast is made possible through the generous support of the Salem Lutheran Women's Guild and the Salem Lutheran Men's Fellowship.